The scripture lesson chosen for this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 20, verses 27 to 38. Luke 20, 27 to 38. Listen to the word of the Lord. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And so, in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife would the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Now he's God not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. This is the word of the Lord. What is now proved was once only imagined, said William Blake, the greatest genius England has ever produced. For example, today, most of you have a smartphone in your pocket. What it can do is what was only an imagination a few years ago in the sci-fi movies. If you bought a new car this year, you were likely to have all the features you used to see in the James Bond movies. It can recognize the lanes. So if you drift out of the lane, it will pull you back in automatically. Now, it can recognize the distance between your car and the car in front of you. So if you are too close, it will hit the brake for you. It will slow down for you. What I like most is you can follow the car in front of you at a certain distance you tell it to follow. And you can let go of the pedals. Now, if the car in front of you slows down, your car will automatically slow down. If it speeds up, your car will speed up, keeping the same distance. It's so useful when you drive in a heavy traffic, since you don't have to move your foot between pedals back and forth, which can be very tiresome if you are driving long distance. So these smart car features make your driving less stressful and your vacation enjoyable. It's just one step behind a self-driving car. So if you don't get to buy a new car this year, don't rush. In a few more years, it will have more features, more smart features, and it will be likely a full-fledged self-driving car. You can read a book, sitting in front of your wheels. if you can let go of the control, right? Anyway, William Blake is right. What is now proved was once only imagined. And in fact, he also said the imagination is not a state. It is the human existence itself. Blake despised people who lack imagination. Much of his imagination eluded people of his time also, for which he said, "What is grand is necessarily obscure to weak men. That which can be made explicit to the idiots is not worth my care." Sounds quite harsh, isn't it? But the great minds tend to think alike. We often mention that C.S. Lewis also said, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine," the word imagine is here, "what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." What he meant is our standard is too low. According to my research on the great minds, creative imagination is the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you are here this morning feeling beat up by the storms of life, I have a solution for you, actually for all of us. Exercise your creative imagination. This world is a sea of suffering, and the only way to stay afloat is your positive imagination. I'm not talking about wishful thinking. Creative imagination is a gift from God to navigate this harsh life. It is the very spirit of Jesus Christ that enabled him to forgive when he was suffering from the worst injustice in human history when he was on the cross. It is his imagination of a bright future, the salvation of the people, that allowed him to endure the cross. Lack of imagination will make you become negative, complainful, resentful, which will make the suffering even worse. In today's scripture lesson, there was a group of people known as the Sadducees trying to trap Jesus with their lack of imagination. It says, "Some Sadducees, those who say there's no resurrection, came to him." There were two major groups of Jewish teachers in Jesus' time, Pharisees and Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in resurrection. They were more logical thinkers, realistic thinkers. Resurrection did not make any scientific sense. They were the liberal wing of the political and religious leaders of that time. Now, the Pharisees were conservative, and they started what was called the Pharisee movement. It was the Back to the Bible movement of the first century. The Pharisees often accused Jesus of being liberal, and the Sadducees accused Jesus of being conservative. And Jesus was caught in between. At the end, both sides collaborated to crucify Jesus. In previous weeks, we talked about how the conservative Pharisees tried to trap Jesus so that they could take him to the court. Now it's the liberal Sadducees' turn. In order to charge Jesus of being a false teacher, they must prove him of being unbiblical, or particularly Jesus must be teaching something against the law of Moses, which was the standard and the litmus test of the true belief. The Bible says the Sadducees ask him a question. "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother." It's like a war movie where the enemy is setting up the battleground to lure the protagonist into the ground so that they can trap him and kill him. Now the enemy has secured the field using the Mosaic law. According to Moses, if a man die without children, his brother must marry his wife so that she could have children to continue her late husband's lineage. Here's why the Sadducees use this law to trap Jesus. For them, the eternal life means eternal lineage on this earth. If the eternal life was after death, and if there is resurrection, why would Moses require the younger brother to propagate his late brother's lineage? So do you see the logic here? So they're using Moses' law to make their point. They were arguing that Moses had proven with his law that there is no such thing as resurrection. Now, after setting up a firm ground using the Mosaic law, they began to ridicule the concept of resurrection by proving that it's totally illogical and impossible and laughable. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And so, in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died in the resurrection. Therefore, whose wife would the woman be? For the seven had married her. I'm sure the crowd there was laughing at this moment. If there is such thing as resurrection, whose wife is this woman be? This is a very logical question, since she had seven husbands. Much of creative imagination in life is killed by logic. They thought they had made Jesus look like a fool, and from now on, no one would take Jesus' teaching seriously. If Jesus said Moses was wrong, then they could take Jesus to court for being anti-Moses, for being not, legitimate. They must be gleefully laughing at Jesus like as if he was a little lamb trapped among a herd of wolves. Jesus' answer convicted them of lacking imagination, and that they themselves were trapped in their own logic. Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels, are children of God, being children of the resurrection." Jesus was saying that marriage belonged to this side of eternity, not the other side. Human beings were originally created to have eternal life until our first ancestors brought death into humanity by their fall. Marriage became necessary after the fall because since death is introduced to humanity, lineage becomes necessary, or human race would have disappeared long ago. In a sense, marriage is a gift from God to sustain our existence on this earth. Since resurrection is the restoration of the eternal life before the fall, marriage is no longer necessary because everyone who is worthy of entering that place will no longer die. Jesus was saying, stretch your imagination. Imagine living a life like angels. Imagine you are all children of God. God does not marry, neither do God's children. We cannot use our experience on this side of life to determine what it is like on the other side, because that's a whole new world. Now, Jesus is still in danger of being accused of dismissing Mosaic law. Their belief was that since Moses' law was received from God, if Jesus is of God, he should not deny it. If Jesus contradicts Moses, he is not from God and he must be taken to court. So now Jesus proved himself that he is not contradicting Moses. But they were the ones who took Moses' law out of the context. He says, and the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he's God not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. Even though it's not evident in English language or English translation, but what Jesus was referring to is that Moses used the present tense when he made this statement that the Lord is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. You know, as God was speaking as if Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were alive at the time, not dead. Jesus is saying that they misinterpret Moses due to their lack of imagination because they didn't believe the resurrection. And they failed to see the evidence in Moses' statement because they inserted their belief into their reading of the scripture. Our lack of imagination can make us blind to see the amazing beauty of God, which Jesus stated beautifully. God is not of the dead, but of the living. At the end, Jesus proved with his own resurrection to give us a glimpse of eternity and give us hope. Hope is fueled by creative imagination. The moment you stop imagining, your hope wanes away, and you sink into negativity. There are two ways to stretch your imagination. Study God's word and pray with God's word, because the Bible is a book of imagination. All the greatest art and music in human history came from those who took the Bible seriously and derived their imagination from this book. Even though the word in the Bible can be very challenging, it's a good challenge because it stretches your imagination to enrich your life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. May God bless you all. Amen.